from the book of Deuteronomy. And now, Yisrael, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Greetings, my friends, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean. Website can be found, scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives, and that's where you go to support this mission of truth. Today we are continuing our series, Faith and Works. We're ready for 1 Peter chapter 3. Only 22 verses. And, you know, there's a couple of topics in the Bible today that are extremely offensive to our godless culture. And even to many who claim to be Christian. But that's because they themselves are godless. And these subjects are usually things that deal with sexual purity, sexual behavior, what's appropriate, what's an abomination. But another one has to do with any time there's speak about women being in subjection to their husbands. Well, Peter's going to put his finger in the eye of that in our chapter today. But he's also got there's also a very, very important verse. So we have the first six verses talking about a woman's etiquette as far as her husband is concerned, but really, it's talking about the reason for it. And then verse 7 is a very important warning to men that many are unaware of. Unaware that the scriptures teach this. And so you're going to want to listen closely to that. Chapter 3 starts with the word likewise, and this is the issue with chapters in the Bible, and obviously we need them to be divided into chapters for ease of finding and locating scripture and memorization and those kind of things. But when you start a chapter with likewise, well, what does that mean? That means like what we just talked about, so we need to go back to chapter 2 and read a few verses to get our context for this morning. So let's do that, shall we? 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read 5 verses here, 21 through 25, to remind ourselves of the context, and then we'll start our study for this morning. Here's what it says. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Likewise. Okay, so what's the context here? The context here is that Christ suffered for you and even subjected himself, right? Put himself in subjection, kept his mouth closed, didn't run his mouth about it, didn't complain, didn't revile. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Why? For our sake. Listen to what it says. Likewise, so just like Christ, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Peter's saying, just like Christ put himself in subjection to what was most important, wives, put yourself in subjection to your husband's, that they might be one. They might be one by your conversation. If you're a wife of a husband who is not committed to God, doesn't want to go to church, doesn't want to study the Word, Peter's saying that husband can be won by the way you walk out your faith. By the way you walk out your faith. When you walk that out in front of him, Charles Spurgeon says this: could any man be won to Christ without the Word? Yes, it was even so in the apostles' day, when they refused to attend the little Christian meetings that were being held, and so could not hear what was there said. Yet, at home, they saw the change that the gospel of Christ had wrought in their wives, and they said, "She is quite different from what she used to be. Certainly she is far better than any wife, than any heathen woman." There must be something in that religion which can make such a change as that. In this way, without the Word, many of them were won to Christ by the godly conversation of their wives. Let's continue on. Verse 3, who's adorning? Still talking about the wives. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the adornment, ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are. And as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. You see, it's just as much about doing this because of your relationship with God, right? It talks about the ornament of meek and of a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. See, God looks at that woman who's in subjection to her husband, who's quiet and meek and loving and compassionate and Christ-like. And he says, that is of great value. That woman there is of great value. And it talks about the holy women like Sarah, who trusted in God, obeyed her husband, even calling him Lord. Now, verse 7. This is an important verse, men. Listen closely. Likewise. Okay, we're starting just like we did the other. Just like the women, just like Christ. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. There's a couple of reasons that I've found in the scriptures, too, that always come to mind as to why a man's prayers are not being heard. The first one is cherished sin in the heart. The psalmist in Psalm 66 says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Cherish sin, unrepented sin in the heart. Or that sin you don't want to let go of. The other reason is not giving due honor to your wife. If you're not honoring your wife, your prayers will be hindered. If every time a pretty girl walks by, you've got to stare, you've got to take inventory, you're not honoring your wife. If you're not loving her and being kind to her, if you're yelling at her constantly, not appreciating what she's done all day long to prepare a nice home and a nice house for you, if you don't honor your wife, your prayers will be hindered. That's according to scripture. It's tough. But that is what the Bible teaches. Let's continue on, shall we? Actually, let me read Charles Spurgeon's commentary on verses 5 through 7 real fast. So he talks about the holy women who trusted in God and adorned themselves in subjection to their husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. And then verse 7 there, husbands, give honor to the wives that your prayers be not hindered. Here's what Spurgeon says. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are. Here's what he says. It has been one of the most beautiful results of the spread of the Christian religion that it has uplifted womanhood, so that now, instead of women being as they were and are still where the gospel is not received, the slaves of their husband, Christianity has taught that honor should be given to the wife. If there be any husbands who do not do so, they err from the gospel way. We live in a culture today where they try to act like Christianity, the Christian faith, somehow oppresses women. It's the gospel that has put women in their due place, which is a place of honor. It was the women who were blessed to see the empty tomb first. I mean, that women started getting this respect that they deserved because of the Christian faith, because of Christ and what Christ did, and because of the example of how he treated the women that were part of his followers. And here, Peter is saying women deserve honor from their husbands, and to not do so, you err. Your prayers will be hindered. We all have a role to play in our relationship with God, with our spouses, and within the brethren of the faith. And many of us, we may be hindering our walk with God because we're not loving and respecting the brethren, those in the faith. Peter's getting ready to get into that. We're not honoring our wives, or maybe the wives have not subjected themselves to their husbands with meekness and quietness. These could all be reasons why your prayers don't make it past the ceiling. Let's continue on here. Verse 8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Please note, what's Peter talking about? He's talking now. So he talked about how husbands and wives should relate to each other like Christ. Now we're talking about how you treat the rest of the brothers and sisters in the faith. This is not specifically towards non-believers or the secular world. This is dealing with how you deal with those in the faith. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So please note, that's kind of like, if I regard wickedness, if I have cherished sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And likewise, you can call yourself Christian all day, but if you're doing evil and you're gossiping and you're being unkind to the brethren, and, well, don't expect blessing in your life. Your actions matter and they come with a consequence. Continuing on. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy ye are. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereby they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Again, he's playing on what he said in the previous chapter. If you're going to suffer, if you're going to deal with hardship, let it be because of righteousness' sake, because the world's coming against you because you live like Christ. Don't let it be because you're doing evil. There's no blessing in sitting back going, oh, I'm being, you know, you do evil at work, things that are against the rules, things that are just wrong. Now you're being disciplined at work. Don't be like, oh, it's because I'm a Christian. If you're going to suffer that, let it be because you actually walk in righteousness and holiness. Right? All right, a handful more verses. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and he preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of the good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is in the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subjection to him. Really, at the end of the day, this chapter is about being like Christ, being willing to suffer for the greater good, for the cause of the faith, for the kingdom of God. Women being in subjection to their husband, even though that's not a natural feeling to want to do. Husbands giving honor to their wives, even though it may not come naturally, but it's Christ-like. Showing grace, mercy, and kindness to your fellow brothers and sisters in the faith, even though they may not deserve it. Doing what is right out in the world so that the world can see your good works. And if you're going to be oppressed, let it be because you're walking in righteousness and holiness. And then it's a reminder that Christ once died for sins, and he went down into the prisons of hell and preached. And he died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. And now, as a result of all that, he is at the right hand of God. Everything's been made subjection, under subjection to him. I pray this morning that you have been blessed. I'm sure this podcast episode will rub some people the wrong way. But that's the That's the cost of doing business, right? That's what happens if you're going to teach the Word of God. If you're going to teach what the Word of God actually says, not what we want it to say, we're not going to twist things and go, well, in the Greek, maybe it was this, and try to apologize for what the Bible has to say. No, the Bible's very clear that wives are to be in subjection to their husbands. It's not just Peter that says this. It's also very clear that men are to love their wives and to cherish their wives, like in the same manner that Christ loves and cherishes the church. This is nothing new. We are to walk in righteousness and holiness. We are to find joy when we are persecuted by evildoers because we walk in righteousness. I didn't say these were easy things, but this is what we're called to do. And I'm just reminded of that passage that I started with out of Deuteronomy. What does the Lord require of us, right? That we walk in His ways, that we love Him, that we serve Him with our heart, soul, and that we obey His commandments and His statutes for our own good. For our own good. That's all I've got for you this morning. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.